heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, I'm not sure if I should tell you first to get little ears out of the room, the little children. It's hard to say at this point, and it's actually even harder to know where the lines are anymore. Since everything has sort of blurred in the world of polytainment, you really never know what is really permissible, what's not permissible. But listen, a lot of the stuff we learn in biology class, we learn in school, so it's not really unusual to talk about a penis or a vagina. I mean, it's pretty common talk, really. In school, that is, in the biology class and things of that nature. But and of course, we talk about that too. We use other adjectives as well in the school playground, right? You did that as a kid as well, I'm sure. You had all kinds of names for those body parts. They're funny when you're a kid. It's funny stuff, of course. Well, today's show, people, you might learn a few things. Maybe the kids will learn too, but we're calling this one penis politics. That's exactly it, penis politics, because that's what it is. It's another version of polytainment, as I say to you all the time. This really got under my skin. I'm sure it got under your skin as well, because it is so far out there. So this has to do with the Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and his penis, or his alleged penis, and what had happened to that penis at the school, or what he did or didn't do with it, or flaunt it, or what have you. At least seven people were aware of the story that Brett Kavanaugh had drunkenly, and there's always the drunken there, keep in mind. I remember the beer, the whole beer with Kavanaugh, you know? So that Brett Kavanaugh had drunkenly exposed his penis to an unwilling Yale classmate. Now, the whole beer drunken thing, that was all the setup with the Supreme Court hearings. That's why they kept talking about, you had a beer in school? My, you fool. I mean, nobody ever has drinks of beer in school. That doesn't happen, people, right? Any more than they show their penis to anybody. Oh, yeah. So you love this. He had drunkenly exposed his penis to an unwilling Yale classmate who ended up touching it. Oh, my golly. She's been tormented and traumatized for life. So this gal ended up touching it while trying to avoid him. But so she tried to avoid it anyway. So this was the New York Times reported this. Yes, the New York Times. We're going to rephrase that. The New York Inquirer, Days of Our Lives, Sopa Operatic Times. We've got to expand the name of that thing, I think, at this point, huh? So in an excerpt from their forthcoming book, and I love this. So have you started to notice a trend by chance? Just tell me if you've noticed a trend when anybody has a book coming out. Have you not, just look at the last many books, and you're anxious to sell books. See what happens. There's always a bombshell the day or two or three before the book. It's always about a book. I'm telling you. Can you people figure this out yet? There's a book here. There's a book here. So an excerpt from the forthcoming book. The book is called "The Education of Brett Kavanaugh: An Investigation." So these Times reporters, this is Kate Kelly and Robin Pogrebin, or how the hell you pronounce her name, Robin Polo Stick, wrote that Deborah Ramirez's account of being confronted by the future Supreme Court Justice's penis, an incident that Kavanaugh's supporters dismissed as uncorroborated during his 2018 confirmation hearings. And this was all in the Slate publication there. Now, the Washington Examiner says, one of the New York Times reporters behind the bombshell story detailing a new sexual misconduct allegation about Justice Brett Kavanaugh also authored a deleted tweet that was thrust on a penis in a woman's face could be considered harmless fun. So the New York Times deleted these tweets. They initially put out there about the fact that it could be a harmless fun. And this was all, this was promoting the report. This was around Saturday night or so. The Times opinion people, they say, tweeted, having a penis thrust in your face at a drunken dorm party may seem like harmless fun, but when Brett Kavanaugh did it to her, Deborah Ramirez says it confirmed that she didn't belong at Yale in the first place. Of course, the worst part about this is all of these alleged victims know nothing about the account. They don't even know anything. No one has been able to say anything about anything yet. There's no story here, but there's a book. There's a book coming. Got to sell the book. Got to get that book on the New York Times bestseller list. Nothing better to do that. Look at the publicity they've got on that book already about that, Kavanaugh and his penis. That's, I mean, everyone's going to want to buy that book now, right? I'm sure you'll buy the book and read the book and find out what the book is all about. That's how you get book sales. I hope none of you out there buy that book. I hope the book drops in sales. I mean, I hope it probably won't. Probably will do real well, you know. So Ben Shapiro comes out and he puts some stuff out there. He says he's demanding to know what Brett Kavanaugh's penis looks like. Now, I get where Ben's coming from. Because as he said, he goes on to say, we've had a bevy of public figures in recent years who have had their genitalia described on national television by people who alleged sexual assault. So Shapiro now says this. He says, and he put a video out on this as well. And so he said, you know, listen, Stormy Daniels famously described President Trump's genitalia, Bill Clinton's genitalia, details of such were talked about. Everybody's talking at the water cooler about what size penis these people have, or what they look like, I guess, would be a better descriptive, I guess, huh? Like the size of your arms or the size of your brain, maybe, or something like that. And the guy's got a big brain, got small feet, but a large penis of some sort. So that's how we describe the allegations now, to think if you did it or not. The story now is so off the charts. It's off the wall. People, when nothing else is working, I mean, how do you pull the whole thing down? You just keep finding stories. It's like pulling. It's like being at a drunken college fest. You just keep pulling the straws out of there until you get one, and then you get lucky. I mean, it's just nothing more than a drunken college fest is what this is. The obvious is this. If we were to hold accountable, and I'm very serious when I say this now, if we were to hold everybody who did a prank, were part of a prank, any association whatsoever with a prank, throughout any moment, time, split second of their school years, they would be totally violated from ever serving in political office and high office, certainly be prohibited from a Supreme Court. People, if we could look in the past of all of those politicians in Congress, I mean, they do it in Congress. They didn't do it when they were kids. These are scumbag. You remember the whole hush fund up there and all of that? These people you don't have to look back to college for these people. They do it today. They're not only screwing over the American people, but they're screwing over each other and all the hot chicks they can get up there. But that's all fine because that's them. And then taxpayers paid and they cover all that with the hush fund. And that's good. Nothing wrong with that, right? I wonder if in fact, by the way, I seen that President Trump put that out. In fact, he asked about, he's so good. He's so clever when it comes to turning the table on people. I've seen he's done that in a few recent stories. Well, he says everybody involved in the Kavanaugh story at the New York Times must resign at once. They're destroying the old gray lady's virtue. I got news for him. That old gray lady, she's been dead for a while. He knows that. He says, you know, but I love the way he flips the table on that. We want you all to resign. He did that the other day, too, with another story he put out here. I love this one, too, at one of his rallies. He was in North Carolina at that special election. That's right. He says, and I saved this to share with you because I seen this the other day. I said, it's funny. He's just so perfectly playing the psychological games, people. He says, tomorrow we take the first step to firing Speaker Pelosi. We're going to fire her. I like that a lot because, you know, of course, they're talking about, you know, you want to impeach the president, of course, right? And so he's real good at flipping the cards. And that's a brain, by the way. I love doing that. That's sarcasm 101. You learn that in school again, just in between those drunken penis parties is where you learn that stuff. But you can play psychology real well. And Trump does that beautifully, beautifully. So I love the way he's going to fire Pelosi. It's a magical moment there. And, of course, he calls out the old gray ladies reporters to resign at once for their problems of a non-story that has just fired up the nation from coast to coast. Everybody is excited about this one. Another story for the water cooler, talking about Brett Kavanaugh and his penis again. It's just truly amazing. So I was telling you, if we were, let me get back to that point I was making a moment ago here when I said to you, if we just went through and really did, I mean, a true accountability, if there was a way that we could really look at somebody's life and determine anything they've done that is out of the realm of, you know, Christian choir boy, you know, disciple of some sort, you know, anything like this, this story, you know, there would be nobody left. You know, you all wouldn't be eligible. You everybody, listen, you know, you wouldn't be eligible. I mean, nobody would be eligible, people, because you've all done some stupid stuff and they've all done stupid stuff and everybody in Congress continues to do stupid stuff. So where are the lines of this thing? Even if this had happened, even if the ladies did come out, why would that disqualify him from being on the Supreme Court, people? For what? And everybody's, they're outraged. All the presidential candidates, they're absolutely outraged at this man because his penis was exposed at a college party somewhere. That's never happened on the planet before. This was a very unique moment. First time in history that's ever happened, people. At a drunken beer party, nonetheless. Truly amazing, isn't it? You know? And that's what we got here. But even if all that happened, why would that disqualify him from being a Supreme Court justice or being the captain of the mosquito control? Why does it matter? I mean, why are we being held accountable for some prank in a college party to begin with? And the self-righteous people who get up there on the camera and the mics and stuff, oh, this is just, he doesn't serve. He's not fit to serve. He can't be on that Supreme Court as a justice. It's rich, really, really rich, isn't it, huh? Just, it's beyond rich. Yeah, there are no words. Hypocritical, hypocrisy, there are no words, people. What words could describe these kinds of things? What words could possibly do this? So then you have to draw the conclusion, obviously. Well, these people are out for blood. There's blood in the water. But, you know, again, here's the message. The message is, hey, Republicans, hey, you conservatives, hey, you people, the right, whatever you want to call yourselves, pick whatever you want. Are you going to fight back this time? Or are you just going to let them run this one over? Because I think we should jam it so far down their throat they can't see straight. We ought to give them a whole bunch of penis stories to go along with their morning coffee. I mean, the right should push back hard on this one, people. This should be a real pushback to the entire establishment of the left who, and of course, all of Hollywood, they're outraged as well. They want Kavanaugh resignation because they are very righteous out there, keep in mind. They run the perfect life out there by Hollywood standards. They do nothing wrong, the Weintraub people there, you know, or the Bill Cosby folks. They are righteous people throughout Hollywood, right? Yeah, we got that. But Trump's unfit to hold office. Yeah, we buy that as well. So all the candidates come out and they are calling for Brett Kavanaugh's resignation. I watched a couple of the video clips and some of the camera moments and, you know, and I love the sincerity of their moment. You know, you just know when you see this Beto Rock, Richard Robert, whatever the hell his name is, dude up there, you know. He doesn't fit to, or Kamala Harris there, you know, you just know the indignation that's there when they speak before they ever say anything. You know what you're going to hear next in the next few seconds is just total garbage, you know. And then, of course, a lot of them in Congress, like the squad, the Ayanna Pressley, she says, she's, by the way, taking action. She's submitting a resolution calling for an impeachment inquiry of Kavanaugh, by the way. I meant to tell you that as well. And she says, and listen to this, I believe Christine Blasey Ford, she says this in the statement here just the other day here. I believe Deborah, these people don't even believe themselves, but she believes them. That's sweet. They don't even have evidence of anything ever happened. I mean, there's nothing, like, there's no story here. There's no story other than a soap opera story of trying to get Kavanaugh out of there so that if Trump has to nominate another Supreme Court justice, they can't overturn the abortion argument. That's all this is for. This is all about, this whole thing is about to dust it up and cover it into an abortion conversation. That's all this is. So if they can keep things unsettled with Kavanaugh right now, that's their best hope. Because they don't really know when, you know, they know the other one. The other one's got bad cancer. We know she's not going to be here too long. And there could be another one or two to drop here soon. I hate to say that. And, of course, and they also realize Trump might get another 4 years. And they also realize if you do the math right there quickly, he's probably going to get two more picks. And then guess what? Yep, you got it. That's why they're losing their collective brains over there, if they ever had any. They're totally off the deep end, because not only that, but he's 150 other judges. He'll have more than 200 by the election, or so they say. I mean, we're talking a major overhaul now here this is the spine of the nation. This is the spine now. I mean, this is more important than the lame congressman you'll elect in there or what have you, because this is the spine of the nation. So that's why they're having a collective heart attack over there now, talking about the Supreme Court justices' body parts, is because what else they got? They just don't have much else. Oh, the other thing I'm seeing a lot lately is Trump is mentally deranged. He's mental. He doesn't have his capacity to be able to deal with this stuff. The guy is sick. And you're hearing this from a lot of people. I mean, it's an everyday thing. You just hear this constantly. It's a drumbeat. It's a collective drumbeat in time. Anyways, that's the story today, people. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, this one last thing. This Ayanna Pressley says, sexual predators do not deserve a seat on the nation's highest court. And Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation process set a dangerous precedent. We must demand justice for survivors and hold Kavanaugh accountable for his actions. That was in the Boston Globe, by the way. So this is, this is potty-tainment at its best. But I hope we don't play along too long. I hope the right gets fiery mad. I know a lot of people are ripping pissed. It's all disgusting, really. It truly is that we're talking about this. I mean, I don't mind talking about, the whole penis conversation, if that's what y'all want to do at the water cooler. If that's what excites y'all, that's fine, whatever, man. But you know what? Let's keep a conservative bent to this thing and keep pushing the nation forward so we can get it back to where the founders are and not give in to the far-left radical socialist Marxists, because you know what? This is not the home for them. The land of the free and the home and this republic is not for sale to these people here. More on the penis story in just a moment.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
As we say, let the silent voices be heard. Shadow banning, editing, censorship, blocking, and adherence to political correctness are seen as serious threats to our God-given right to free speech. Suppressing free speech, the very cornerstone of our society, is not in the best interest of our listeners, readers, and those who provide our content. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Abe was just saying to me coming in the break, it's not about penis. I would disagree with you, Abe. It's totally about that. What do you think it's about then? If it's not, I just told you it's about the Supreme Court. What else is it about?
It's about racism and sexism, and it's about white men. Okay. If you listen to Pete Buttigieg, he gave a little speech and he said that there will never be another gender or color in the White House as there is now. That will all change in 2020, according to him.
So you think it's because Kavanaugh's white, you're saying, with the white privilege thing? Is that what you're saying?
It's all about being white. It's all about being a man. If you listen to Mazie Hirono, mm-hmm. the lovely lady with the resting bitch face, you know.
I love her. Love her.
Well, listen to her little video on YouTube, and she talks about how she hates men, and she tells men to shut up and sit down. And this is all about women's rights. It's about unfettered abortion. It's about getting their way.
Yeah,
and they'll get it any way possible.
I don't think this is white privilege. I don't think it's white privilege, though. I disagree with you entirely.
And
let me let's get Jim into the conversation. I disagree, Jim, and I don't know where you fall. Let me say why, because they went after Clarence Thomas in the same way, and Clarence was not white privilege. Sorry.
No, he wasn't.
No, well, it's the same thing. They went after him the same way. In fact, that's on the America Out Loud right now. There's an article up there, the injustice committed against Justice Kavanaugh and Clarence Thomas, in fact, as well. So I don't think this is white privilege. I think, Jim, I think this is just about abortion. I think it's about the Supreme Court, and I think it's about, and they're trying to make this inflammatory by mocking Kavanaugh's penis. What are they doing, Jim? Talk to me.
I think the whole thing is just about what used to call blue journalism. In fact, that the way this was, the story was manipulated by the Times editors, and anything for sensationalism, anything for an anti-Trump message, the putting it in a broader context of abortion or Roe versus Wade is I think it's beyond the mentality of some of these people to think that broadly. When the Times has fallen to this type of journalism, where the editors are changing the stories that are not only a story in an article written for the Times as an opinion essay, but also collaborated in the book. How do you do that?
Yeah, but that's what I said to you, though. Wait a minute now. I said to you both, this is about selling books. This is, am I right to say that every time there's a big book coming, you notice there's always a bombshell before the book hits the bookshelf?
And I think the reason the Times did what they did, a review of the book basically says that this book debunks the sexual allegations against Kavanaugh that were previously made.
But they held all that out of the story. They let a story out there with nothing in it but the accusations that something had happened when nothing had happened.
So either the Times is publishing the book and wants to sell more books, or the Times is totally corrupt. Take your choice. I mean,
well, both. I think it's both. I don't think it is a choice. What do you think, Ava? Isn't it both?
I think this is one more example of domestic terrorism that's being put upon any Trump supporter. I mean, there are sleeping giants that are, you know, if any company does any business with Trump or somehow, you know, says something nice about him, there are mobs who will attack that company. They'll attack them publicly. They'll attack them physically. They're doing the same thing to people who Trump is electing to be in his cabinet. You notice how many sitting, he has temporary placeholders there. They can't be, you know, confirmed. And nobody can be acquitted of anything. If you're a Trump supporter, forget it. You're a target. And I'm telling you, this is a new way of doing business, and Republicans have to think about this. Are we going to get down in the dirt with them and do the same thing back? That's the question right there.
Well, you're speaking now in the broader context of this argument about TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, and I get that. And you study this, and you know that that is a real problem that people have out there. But the stakes are higher than this. I think if you look at the ideology of what's going on with the Supreme Court, what's going on with all the judges through all the circuit courts, the way Trump is remaking, this is not lost on the left, Ava. They're very aware of what Trump is. Do you realize the momentum and the progress this president is having with the courts, with the Ninth Circuit Court and with the Supreme Court? And with, do you see what's happening?
Yes, but let me tell you something. In the past, there have been Democrat people who have taken the Supreme Court over. There have been majority Democrat houses and senates that did things that Republicans didn't like. Hmm. I can remember, and I can read history, okay? So we didn't do these things. We didn't turn into domestic terrorists and go after Democrats and burn somebody's house down or beat somebody up or get a mob to go stand in front of their house and shout threats. And, you know, we didn't do these things. We didn't lie about Supreme Court
justices.
But, Ava,
the left plays to win. The right does not. There's your difference. I agree with everything you just said. Well, yeah, I agree with you.
The left is no longer
the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party that we know from the
past. I already said they're Marxist socialists. They're from another country, another planet. That's correct.
Absolutely, and it's win at all costs, no matter what.
There are no rules, Jim.
Exactly. Well, there are. It's called Alinsky's rules for radicals.
In that book, there are no rules. The rules of radical, there are none. In other words, they stoop to any level they have to stoop to win, which is talking about Kavanaugh's private parts, yeah?
Yeah, that to me, that's like a minor thing. I mean, I see this in a bigger picture. And I thank God that we have President Trump at the helm right now. Because you know why? He's the only guy that could take this kind of beating, okay? And come out a winner. He's the only one that could.
Well, as I just shared with you some of the stories, he's brilliant at the psychology thing. He's brilliant at being able to flip those stories. I think it's a tremendous talent when you know how to do that. And that is a winning strategy, even no doubt. So let me, I've already addressed to you both that there are two big things that I thought you might agree with. Number one, there's an ideology in play here. It's about the structure of the court. That's what's really going on, because they know that there are a couple of other justices who are in danger of falling, Ava. You know that. We've talked about this.
Oh, yes. It's very well known. Yes.
And it's coming. It's getting serious now. And they also recognize that there's a distinct possibility. They're recognizing that. They look at the field on the left they have. And they also recognize that Trump may win another election cycle. They don't want to admit it, but they recognize it's a very real possibility, because they know they got nothing over there. They've just got a bunch of loose cannons over there. They know that, Ava. There's no brilliance over there. The best they got, they think, is Joe Biden.
Well, what they're going to do, they're getting Trump reelected for us. This bad behavior, this domestic terrorism that's taking place, they are going to get Mr. Trump reelected. And all I can do is thank them and keep talking, keep the Democrats talking.
I don't know.
You know, the irony of this entire Kavanaugh thing is, just last week, Ruth Bader Ginsburg came out praising Kavanaugh for his performance on the bench for the year he's been there. And I think that probably really teed off the New York Times, you know, being an anti-Trump or an anti-Kavanaugh. So maybe that launched this entire article and the way the editors manipulated it.
I think the New York Times, I don't even read that. I actually have them blocked on social media, because to me, it's just it's worse than the National Enquirer. Okay. I would believe something in the National Enquirer before the New York Times. Mm-hmm. That's what it's come to for me.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Well, a lot of people read all of these things religiously and they watch the program. I am very careful in all of those publications, people, truth be told. So I don't, you know, I mean, you kind of see it on the edges. But I think when you understand the game that's being played here, Ava, you don't really have to dive so much into those publications, because they are garbage, whatever it is. And there's a whole litany of them. But again, and I tell you all the time, Ava, I tell all our listeners, you never have to waste your time and read all of the articles. You really just have to look. If you just scan all the headlines, they tell a hell of a story, don't they?
Oh, just, you know, it's all salacious. Most of it's not corroborated or made, you know, it's just made up.
Well, the word is anonymous. The word's anonymous. That's the word they use, as I said, just this past week on the program. That's the word of the moment. They use anonymous. The sources always fall under that category. But again, so here's a story that comes out of nowhere. The Times runs it, as you say, Jim, as an opinion kind of piece. It's a piece, again, but do you understand that, do you agree with me when I tell you that these two reporters are trying to sell books?
Oh, of course. Of course.
Of course they were. But the thing is, their book had a different slant to it that the Times didn't like, apparently, because they were more, to use the word that's been overused, exonerating Kavanaugh of all the claims that were made in the hearings. And with that, the editors of the Times changed the op-ed that was written by the two reporters. This is not a mistake. This is a definite manipulation of facts and information by the Times to attack Kavanaugh and Trump. Because they put both in the same category.
Because now the entire country is talking about Brett Kavanaugh again. Yep. They're talking
that's
about
all they wanted, right. That's what they wanted.
Yep. So they won. Yep. They succeeded. That's what I'm saying.
Well, no. See, I think this is going to blow back on them really badly. Come 2020, we'll see how the election goes, okay? Because people are watching this, and they know what's going on. People are not as stupid as these guys think
The left. I'm gonna actually push back on you for this reason. I don't really agree with that, and I'm gonna tell you why. And sadly, but here's and this is important for you to hear me, because what you just said is, I think, the cancer and the danger of the right. It's how they think, Ava, and that's why the election is more dangerous than you realize. And I'm gonna tell you why. So I was out just last night with some business folks for dinner and what have you. And there were some folks on the left that were there at the table. And the conversation came up. And when I say left, they were more moderate thinkers, more center of the aisle. And the conversation started to come up about this story. And they really started to believe these stories because they don't follow all of the storylines, Ava. They're not reading the stories. And they were looking for me for what was really going on with Trump and what kind of a job do you think he was doing. And now these are business folks, but they're disconnected from a lot of the political noise. They're voters. But they really thought that Trump was inflaming some of this, and maybe he wasn't the right guy to be in the Oval Office. And so what I'm drawing for you is a roadmap of a lot of Americans who are moderates, some are left of center, some are right of center, but they're more in that middle aisle that you need desperately to win an election. You have to have independence to win an election. And those people, a lot of those people have turned this off, but they're not. And these people that were there, I was surprised they didn't know as much as they didn't know. And when I started to talk to them about it briefly, although this wasn't supposed to be a specific political conversation, their eyes grew twice the size when I said, no, you've got to be kidding me. And you need to pay attention here. And they said, well, they're seeing all the headlines. They're seeing all the news. So you see, people are just reading that on the skim. They're skimming the edges of that, Ava. And they're not informed like you think they are. And they're not as smart as you say you think they are. So I have news for you. There's a lot of middle people who are in danger of believing this stuff. So if you think for a minute that we have this in the bag, I'm going to pleasantly disagree with you, because I'm telling you now, all this media is doing massive damage to this country. And so when you think it's just an allegation of a publication, an editorial, an op-ed in the New York Times, I'm telling you now, there's a big risk here. So that's the problem. And the right needs to fight back. So when you ask, what should we do? Well, the right needs to get as dirty as the left.
Yeah, I think so.
The problem is that the left has 90-some percent of the communications media
exactly.
in the world.
Exactly. Which I continue to point out every freaking day.
How do you fight back against, you know, here's the old story of somebody telling a lie enough times that it becomes the truth. And, you know, and they remember their phrase a couple years ago?
Jim, that's it. That's it, Jim. You're on it right there. Listen to me. You're on it right there. If you keep saying the same thing again and again and again and again, which is why they knew what they were doing when they ran that story in the Times and what they wanted to do here. Because, Jim, it doesn't, whether it's true or whether it's a lie, it doesn't matter, Jim, because people are now believing that Kavanaugh is a sexual drunken predator. You understand?
Totally. I mean, the New York Times was supposed to be the most reputable source of information going. And now it's down to the point where they actually have to charge you to read their articles on the internet.
That's right, which I don't do. But you've known this for a while, but the right knows this as well. But we keep talking about them, guys. And people, and this is what gets me, Ava, Jim. People keep subscribing to the publication. People are paying for it. And they keep doing it. And then we all get on there and bitch about them. What's wrong with this picture? Do you see what I'm saying, guys? Talk about the psychology of this a moment. You take a look at the Times. All the right does is complain about them. We don't own anything. We don't own any of the, and even this supposed Fox News that the right relied on is gone to hell in a handbag for the right. And people say, well, I don't like what they're doing anymore. Well, they got all these leftists and they're talking about us because, and then they, you know, you can't even rely on those sources. I think a lot of Republicans are talked off by Fox News, are they not?
I have two things that I'm looking at
okay.
that make me feel very positive that Trump will win. Number one, the Democrat debates. I don't know if you watched them. I heard you say once you did not watch them.
I watched them carefully. Yeah.
And I know that people are turned off when they listen to these Democrats on the stage. They are so far left, mm-hmm. radical, crazy nut jobs. Okay.
Right.
I listened to a show. I watched the people streaming into the Trump rally. Okay. There was a guy online that was streaming it live, and I went on and I watched it on Periscope. This was amazing. This is what you don't see on mainstream media, but I listened to what these people said when the guy put the microphone to their mouth. They were all Democrats, mm-hmm. and they're afraid to lose their Second Amendment. And they all watched the Democrat debates. And every one of those people that spoke said they were horrified by what they saw and what they heard. They said, no, no, Trump's the guy. We need Trump. Mm-hmm. And these were Democrats. Sure. And I'm not talking a few. I'm talking probably thousands, okay, in that one line. There must have been. And they all bought a Trump hat and they all bought a Trump shirt. So, I mean, I'm seeing things like this, Malcolm, and I'm thinking, these people watched, they were Democrats. They watched the Democrat debates and they made up their mind. I mean, they don't want what these Democrats are selling.
I think that's a fair assessment. Jim, what do you think?
I think so also. It's the heartland of the country. I mean, it's surprising that you got Beto O'Rourke from Texas up there yelling and screaming at the debates. We're taking away your AK-47s. We're taking away your AR-15s and everything. Guys from Texas, 9 out of 10 people in Texas have guns. Mm-hmm. The rest of them carry. I mean, it's that's the wrong place and the wrong image for the heartland. I mean, he's become a caricature.
What do you think if we went back into O'Rourke's college program, Jim, what we'd find? What do you think, Jim?
Did he actually go? I mean, junior college, probably. I don't know what his background is offhand. But I imagine he was party boy for sure.
He has a criminal history, so we should make sure he doesn't get a gun.
Exactly. And you say that, Ava, but and quite honestly, when you watch him and you watch his hand movement and his eyes, he looks like seriously a deranged fellow. And when you hear him speak about some of the things he tries to intelligently articulate, he absolutely looks like a deranged individual to me. He probably has issues. And no, I would not be comfortable with him having a gun. I would put him under the crazy farm. Ava, what do you say?
And when you look at what these Democrats are saying, this is what gives me great hope. Okay. I listen to their platform and it's torturous for me to do so. Don't mm-hmm. think I enjoy it, yeah. but I write down things that they say and I'm remembering all what Elizabeth Warren's saying, what Bernie's saying, yeah. what Pete Buttigieg is saying. You know, I mean, these people are crazy.
Yeah,
when you really listen to what they're saying, mm-hmm. and you know, Democrats are sitting there watching this just like I am, mm-hmm. and I'm a Republican, so I'm being very critical. Mm-hmm. But now Democrats are turning. They're turning for Trump. That's yep. what's happening. There are many Democrats that are in the middle of the spectrum here. You know, they're kind of on the fence on abortion, maybe, you know, up to 3 months. You know, these are the kind of things they're weighing out in their minds. And they are horrified.
So do you think they got the election? You think Trump's got the election then?
I think Trump is making hay here. I'm telling you, he really is.
So we should not worry? You think that it's all good?
No, you fight till the end of the line here. I mean, you never give up. You never give in. But, you know, what you're witnessing right now, this horrid behavior that we're talking about, the New York Times, the attack on Kavanaugh, they know, the Democrats know it's over, okay? Mm-hmm. This is the last dying gasp of an animal. It's trying to bite you while it's dying.
Well,
okay?
Which is what they keep doing now, which is why the program in the game has changed. It's why they keep going. It's why when I opened up the program, I did a very, I guess you'd call it R-rated, I think, probably. Although the word penis is used in school. I mean, it's a real word you can use, people.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue, Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Jim McKay, Ava Armstrong are here. If you didn't know that, the earlier segment of the show here. And I want to ask you both straight out, just an honest question, not being funny here. I do think this is so over the top. We do need to make fun of it in the way that it is, or I think it's going to be glossed over again as a nothing story. And when the right talks about how ridiculous the Times is, the New York Times, they are ridiculous, which is why I do not subscribe. I do not read that thing religiously. I'll look at excerpts and things that people say because I need to know as a news person. I mean, I get that. But I don't read a lot of that garbage. I don't put that into my mind any more than I watch all of the lame socialists. It's just the way it is. It's so many hours in a day, people. But I want to ask you both right now. Jim, when we open up and we talk about this scandals with Brett Kavanaugh, and to show you how crazy the whole thing is, and the New York Times and the story, calling it back, the book that is for sale, the Supreme Court, everybody has done stupid things in their life, even if all that had happened, and there's no evidence anything happened. But now he is known as a drunken sexual predator. If you asked anybody and you pulled people from nation and coast to coast, Jim, I bet you a vast majority of people who are not quite paying attention, as I told Ava moments ago, would think he's a drunken sexual predator. Only those who really follow this stuff know differently. But a lot of people don't follow this stuff like you do. I'm telling you guys, you think a lot less of that than I know. People are not educated on these issues. So my question is, and making fun of that, Jim, what is that too much to make fun of it in the way we talk about Brett Kavanaugh and his penis? Is that too much, or is that the right, or do we show how silly it is?
I think we have to get out there with the message, and sometimes the only way to get the message out to people is to be a little over the top.
Over the top.
Again, you have two audiences. You have the coastal audience, and then you have the flyover, the rest of the country.
That's right.
Trump appeals to the flyover, the rest of the country. He's not going to win Oregon or Washington or California. I don't even know if he bothers going there because he's not going to pick up donations, that's for sure. And he's not going to win in New Jersey or New York or Connecticut. He came close in Connecticut, by the way. So the strategy going into 2020 is the same. Electoral college, pick up all the, give the big states, the couple big states to the Democrat, and make sure you hold the other states, Florida, North Carolina, Georgia.
Well, there's a series of stories right now, Jim, where they honestly believe they can flip Texas. I mean, I've seen multiple stories on this story, by the way.
I think the media is putting out basically a big bull story on this because what they want to do is either have Republicans take on a defeatist attitude in those areas. And again, where you have, 12 members of the House are decided they've not going to run again in 2020. And why is that? It's because they don't want to face the beating that the media is giving them, their families, and everything that this horror show that has been going on now from the left for 3 years.
Well, Ava, I want to ask you the same thing with the monologue. Was that too much in talking about all that with Kavanaugh?
No, I thought it was funny.
but it was real, too. It was stupid.
I know. It's so stupid on its face. I mean,
how many people, Ava, would it be? How many people? I mean, you know, and you must have loved the mention, Ava, of the hush fund in Congress, right? I mean,
of course. I mean,
but Ava, you know all these people. I mean, let's be honest with me, sister. Listen, you know, Everett, if we really did an honest to God, if we could know the background of all these people, you know, there would, I don't think there would be anybody left. I mean, it would be a handful, Ava. I mean, am I right or wrong, honey? It'd be a handful.
I think Susan Collins would be the only one sitting there.
Yeah, she'd be a nun, the nuns.
Well, she's a very nice lady. And I think, right. You know, she would have nothing to worry about as far as that goes.
It would be, anybody she'd be one else? Of the handful. She'd be one of the handful, right?
Yeah, there'd be, you could count them probably on one
on a hand.
But
you agree with me, Ava, right?
I do.
And you know, Ava, the other thing is, and just understand we talk about the hypocrisy. I just said, I can't even find the adjectives anymore, Ava. But when you think about all these people and they get up there on the mic, and you take like Kamala Harris, she's a wild child, Ava. Mm-hmm. She's a wild child. And she gets up there, you see her, you know, on the mic the last couple of days. Yes. And, you know, this Brett Kavanaugh, he's not right to hold that office. He doesn't qualify to be a Supreme Court justice.
Well, six Democrat candidates for president mm-hmm. jumped right out, you know, said all these horrific
without knowing anything.
Without knowing the truth.
That's
and
right.
this is not the kind of person I would want for president. Okay. I want a president who's like Donald Trump, who's going to sit down with a group of people, talk it out, hash it out, maybe yell a little bit. But I mean, in the end, they'll come to a reasoned conclusion. Okay. I listened to Victor Davis Hanson speak last night.
Love him.
And I'll tell you one thing that he said that gave me pause. Okay. And he said, this has never been a time in our country like this. We've had some real rough areas. We've had some real rough patches. Mm-hmm. But he said, this is domestic terrorism. What the left is doing right now to Trump and to Trump supporters and to Trump, you know, all the people serving under him are being harassed. You have no idea what's going on behind the scenes. It's horrible. And for a Supreme Court justice to be treated this way, I mean, he said, it's unconscionable.
It's
unheard of, you know?
Yeah, it totally is. Which is why I have given like a lot more latitude to this president because he's fighting back. And, you know, people, you know, at first, Ava will tell you and Jim, I used to want him to be careful because I really wanted him to win the middle aisle. Right. Ava, I used to tell you that all the time. Right.
You wanted him to be presidential.
Well, I wanted him to make sure he didn't toss the independence away, Ava. So not so much that, but I wanted him to be more careful with going after some of the celebritars like John Legend and John Legend's woman there. I mean, what purpose does that really serve? I mean, it doesn't serve a purpose other than he feels good. He digged at them or called them names on Twitter. He does a lot of that stuff. Now that's where you begin to, you begin to carve out some of the people who will take that personally in the middle of the aisle. And I know because I just had dinner with some of those people last night and they get offended by that kind of thing. Ava, I'm telling you right now, and they're not paying attention to all these policies. They're too busy living their lives. They don't follow it like you do. And so they're not a political analyst. They don't study this stuff. Most people in flyover country, as Jim, you were just saying, they don't study this stuff at all. And that's the problem we got here. So you can't take any of this for granted. But here's the thing I want to talk to you about next. The whole thing about college pranks. How desperate does one have to be? They literally are now back in college days in beer, drunken sexual parties or whatever was going on in college to determine whether you are a stand-up character of a man today or a woman. And, you know, the men and the women, and I emphasize the women because again, the women are just as bad as the men, in some cases worse. Would you agree with that statement, Ava?
Oh, definitely. And going forward, we have to understand that anybody that runs for office will be scrutinized in the same manner. Okay, anybody that dares to stand up and stand at, you know, with Trump, we will be scrutinized in the same manner. And, you know, just be aware of that. And if you're a strong person, you have a strong constitution, and you're confident in yourself, you'll be able to withstand this.
Well, maybe. I mean, and that's what we're hoping that is going to happen right now. But look at the assault on Kavanaugh and his family again. And again, the brand that you got to feel for the guy. I mean, here's a guy who is a pretty decent guy overall. I mean, what skeletons he has in his closets? I mean, do we really even know? I mean, does it even really matter?
Here's the real irony of it all, okay? Justice Kavanaugh has actually voted with the left a few times in the court already.
That's right.
He's a very middle-of-the-road justice. He's not completely on the right, and he's not completely on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the exact kind of justice you want in the Supreme Court.
Well, because they're common sense, Ava. They're common sense, a lot of it
well,
is.
Well, they're looking at the Constitution. That's what he does. He looks at the law, and that's how he makes his judgment. It's not made on emotion. It's not made on sticking your finger in the air and seeing what's going on. You know, I mean, you've got to look at the Constitution.
Well, and Ava, you know, in all fairness, and most constitutional conservatives and most libertarians and most people in that corridor, you know, don't want to be, they have different opinions than some of the Republicans specifically, right? There's a difference there. Yeah.
Yep.
It's a difference.
Yep.
And some of those people make good justices because there's more common sense there. Jim, you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think, you know, the left has gone way beyond adhering to the Constitution. They'd rather put it in a shredder and never look at it again.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got Gorsuch and you got Kavanaugh, you got two originalists, people that believe in the Constitution, mm-hmm. follow it, don't read things into it. They're both states' rights people also.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you know, the issue of Roe versus Wade is really not a federal issue, because when the Supreme Court ruled, they made it a state's issue.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They gave it to the states. So the Supreme Court is not going to touch it again. They're not going to reverse and change the decision.
And what you just drew up, by the way, Jim, what you just described was perfectly said. And I'll tell you mm-hmm. why, because what you just described with what they are, those gentlemen, you know what also they're not, Jim? And this is what really pisses the left off, the far left now I'm talking about here, not real Democrats here. It's not what I'm talking about, far left. People have hijacked all this. They're not globalists, Jim.
No. Yeah.
See, that's what really irritates the far, far left. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. The left has talked about packing the Supreme Court. All I can tell you is if mm-hmm. these people get into power, you just want to hold on to your hat, because it's going to be awful. It will be unbelievably horrible. I mean, everything that we hold near and dear to
Well, they don't even believe in law and order.
They don't
believe in basic law and order. How are you going to keep your family safe? And, you know, I mean, come on.
And Trump, when he spoke at his rally in New Mexico, he did tell you, he painted a picture of what it would be like if Democrats were in power. There would be no borders. There would be no ICE. There would be no border patrol. There would be less police officers. There would be, you know, opening of prisons and letting prisoners out. Was it Kamala Harris? I can't remember who it was at the Democrat debates. Mm-hmm. They were competing with one another with how many people to let out of prison. And one of them said, it was Joe Biden. He said, if they haven't committed a violent crime, mm-hmm. we got to let them out, he said. And so somebody on the stage said, well, that means Bernie Madoff would have been, you know, let him off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are the things when you watch these Democrat debates. That's why I keep saying, watch them, listen to their words, because they're telling you exactly what they want to do. And my God, it's scary. I mean, it's so frightening.
I find it easier to just read the transcript afterward. You can see everything they say in there. So you can do that in less than half the time, probably 20% of the time, than watching those clowns and terrorizing. And if I did that, I would be on medication, Ava. Total medication. Yeah, it would not work. Jim, do you watch them all religiously?
Partially. Sometimes I'll tune out while I'm doing some work on the computer.
Exactly.
Have it on in the background. If there's a big uproar in the crowd about something, I'll rewind it.
I tried the other day, and they were talking for the first, I watched maybe 3, 4, 5 minutes, whatever it was, I don't recall, and they were talking about white supremacists, that Trump was white, and one after the next. No talk about policy, no talk about nothing else. And then even when they do get to policy, they want to talk about healthcare and their plans, or their plans for healthcare and education, which we mm-hmm. know it's never going to change. We know that they want a globalist program of everybody's free, and anybody successful pays for that free, so that everybody in the world has it, you know?
I'll tell you, one of the ones that worries me the most is
who?
Andrew Yang.
Oh, yeah. He does worry you?
Yes.
I've heard others say that.
Very much.
Because?
He's a communist.
Yeah.
And you just listen to his words and you would think you're in another country.
But why does he worry you? He's not going to get you. You don't think they're going to vote for him. But what do you mean?
A lot of millennials are following him on Twitter.
But that's what the millennials like. We've been reporting on this on the platform. Mm-hmm. These young people love this socialism stuff.
Right.
In fact, the studies, like I said the other day, if you go to sleep for 20 years, guys, and come back, we could be in a whole heap of trouble, which is why we can't take anything for granted right now, Ava. It's why we have to fight.
I know Trump's going to win in 2020, and I'm going to fight my heart out and make sure he does. And then I'm already tweeting and looking forward to 2024. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I'm not on that page. I think you're way too far ahead. We got to win 2020 before you worry about 2024. And the advice to people, Jim, what do you think about that statement?
I think 2020 is crucial. And I think two of the biggest factors we have to worry about is not just the candidates, but what would you call misadventures in voting, whether it's stuffing ballots, it's ballot harvesting, losing ballots and then finding them at the 11th hour, all the stuff that...
Which is what they did in 2018. It's what they did in the midterm.
They flipped 7 seats in Southern California.
Nobody knows why.
How?
Yeah, that's... Well, they're famous because, again, Jim, as we already qualified, they will stoop to any level. There are no rules of engagement here. There are no rules. No. Even the radical rules, they'll go beyond whatever they got to do, they got to do to get it done. But you know, right?
I think Trump and the people he have running the campaign are saying, well, we're not going to fool around with California, Washington, Oregon, all these other blue, solid, rock solid states. We're going to go into those states that were close, that were won by, you know, some of them by 70,000 votes, which is statewide, is nothing.
Well, he's got to win Michigan
again.
He's got to win Michigan and he's got to win Pennsylvania.
Yes, exactly. And that's why he's already done one rally in Pennsylvania. And I mean, what, we're still, 16 months out from the election? I mean,
right.
So Trump is going to be out there and he's a force to deal with. And he gets this message out with these rallies and more people tune into them than I guarantee than they did the 20 little gnomes that were on the stage for the two nights of Democratic.
Well, it looks that way. At least that's what the appearance seemed to be with the rallies and all. But again, you know, where middle America is on all this is the question. I mean, and getting people out to vote. What you don't want to do is get the right, the Republicans, too comfortable, gang. You don't want to get them too comfortable. Yeah.
No.
You got to leave them in the game, and we got to really focus on 2020. And the other thing, Ava, Jim, I will tell you right out, we've got to keep it real, and we've got to show how nutty they are. You listen back later on to the monologue up front, you'll see how nutty it all is when you see the extremism of all this, and the fact that we're going back to college days, like nobody's ever done a prank in school, people, or done a prank in your life, period. I mean, give me a break, people. That the New York Times literally put out tweets talking about the Supreme Court Justice's penis. Really, really happened. You cannot take anything for granted. But don't think that 2020 is in the bag. You have to fight for this. You have to fight and get out there because if you don't, you risk plenty. And the stakes are incredibly high. And now you see what the left is doing to try to win. And they're going to have more bombshells against President Trump as well. I'm guaranteeing you that. There'll be more bombshells on him before 2020. And they're going to try that impeachment closer to 2020. They're going to try to scar and mar that up. Of course, Trump is a fighter. Clearly, he's going to fight back. And by the way, cancel your subscription in the New York Times, please. If you've got one, if you're silly enough to have it, don't give them any money. Let's help them go bankrupt in the process, will you please? In the meantime, it's time to get involved and get loud. We'll be right back.